This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Have you ever wondered what happened after Jesus was resurrected and the apostles were gone? There's some fascinating information about that. The church was, at this point, under the leadership of what are commonly known as the Apostolic Fathers. They are called the Apostolic Fathers because every one of the leaders of the church after the apostles had learned how to be a church leader from the apostles, and therefore they are called the fathers of the early Christian church who knew the apostles, hence the Apostolic Fathers. They were fascinating. Some of them lived in the first century, some in the second century. Of course, some knew the apostles very well. Some knew just one apostle and not all that well, but they at least had enough of a tie that they were important early Christian leaders. If you go back to the actual time of Christ or the second century, you'll never find the phrase Apostolic Fathers. This is a relatively new phrase that happened in the 17th century, but it's a great phrase, and it helps describe those who were leaders of the first and second centuries. Who are these Apostolic Fathers? Well, let's go through some of their works and then talk about who they were in a little bit greater detail. There's Clement of Rome. He wasn't just called Clement because there were other Clements as well. So there's Clement of Rome, and he wrote one letter and then a second letter. So there's a first and second letter or epistle of Clement of Rome. There are seven letters or epistles from a man named Ignatius, who was from Antioch. There's a fascinating guy named Polycarp, who's one of my very favorites. The letter or epistle of Polycarp is just a masterfully written document. It's not very long, but it's just a wonderful thing. Then we have another book that's called, today anyway, the Fragments of the Writings of Papias, of Hierapolis. Papias also knew some of the early apostles. There's another Apostolic Father who wrote in the second century. His name is Quadratus. Quadratus of Athens is the way people usually refer to him. Then there are works that don't have a specific author, but are contributed to or generally thought to have been written about by some early church fathers who knew the apostles. Among those are the Didache, which is the writings of the 12 apostles, a book called The Letter or Epistle of Barnabas, the letter or epistle to Diogenes, and The Shepherd of Hermas, which I've mentioned a number of times on the show, which is a personal favorite. There are also some people who argue that the Odes of Solomon was written by a student of the Apostle John around the middle of the first century. That may or may not be true. So all of these works that I'm talking to you about were originally written in Greek. There are a lot of translations that are out there if you're interested in these, and you might be because these were generally considered to be on the level or almost at the level of Scripture. They were passed around and copied by the early Christian church branches the same way as the letters of Paul and the letters of John, of James, of Jude, and so forth. If you wanted to read some of these, one of the best places to go is a series called the Ante-Nicene Fathers. Ante meaning before. The fathers before the council at Nicaea, so hence the title Ante-Nicene Fathers. It's also available online, so you can take a look at it there. There are some other wonderful books about the apostolic fathers. One of my favorites is one that's published a long, long time ago, over 100 years ago, by Harvard University Press, called The Apostolic Fathers, Volume 1, and Apostolic Fathers, Volume 2. In there you have 1st and 2nd Clement, the Book of Ignatius, Polycarp, the Didache, Barnabas, and in Volume 2 you have The Shepherd of Hermas, a book describing the martyrdom of Polycarp, which I'll get to in more detail in a minute or two here. You also have an epistle to Diogenetus, and then you have the Apostolic Fathers that's a more recent edition, Harvard University Press, that was edited by Bart Ehrman, and it's very similar, but it's updated. So you may want to take a look at any of those. So who were these early church fathers, and what did they write about? First, let's take a look at Clement of Rome. He lived from about 35 AD, so approximately the time, or just after the time when Jesus was crucified and resurrected. He died approximately, as near as we can tell, 99 AD. He was the Bishop of Rome from 88 to 99 AD. Irenaeus, a famous church father, and Tertullian, who's another famous early church father, list him as the fourth bishop after Peter, the Apostle Peter, Linus, and Ancletus. He was said to have been consecrated to be a bishop of Rome by Peter the Apostle, and he's known to have been a leading member of the church in the late first century. The epistle of Clement of Rome was probably written about 96 AD. It was copied and widely read and is generally considered to be the oldest Christian epistle in existence outside of the New Testament. It's pretty long. It's about twice as long as Hebrews in the Bible, and that takes a lot of effort to write something of that length and do it coherently and well. And the epistle, the first epistle of Clement, is spectacular. It's well done. It's something that shows how the author, Clement, was very familiar with many books of the Old Testament and also the New Testament by this time. It also shows how he was well-versed with the Old Testament, not just knowing it, but knowing it well, because it includes numerous references to things like the Book of Judith, showing that he was familiar with what we now call the Apocrypha. He talks about the Christians in Corinth and tells them to maintain order and harmony. Tradition identifies the author as, of course, Clement the Bishop of Rome, and scholars overwhelmingly believe that this is right. He wrote a second epistle that's traditionally ascribed by some ancient authors to him, but some people don't think so. So I guess it's a little bit more disputed. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about probably the second most famous of the early church Christian apostolic fathers, and that would be Ignatius of Antioch. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our discussion today centers around the leaders of early Christianity, immediately after the apostles were gone, almost all of whom were gone because of martyrdom. Of course, there's a different idea about the apostle John, but that's a story for a different day. Let's take a look at the next great early apostolic father. Clement of Rome was the first one. The second one is Ignatius of Antioch. Ignatius of Antioch, also known as Theophorus, was a bishop of Antioch. He may have known the apostle John directly. And we know that his thoughts, his way of thinking about doctrines and about church management were influenced by the tradition associated with John the Apostle. While he, Ignatius of Antioch, was en route to his martyrdom in Rome, note that even those coming after the original apostles suffered the fate of martyrdom, or at least most did. While Ignatius of Antioch was going to his martyrdom in Rome, he wrote a series of letters which have been preserved as an example of the theology of the earliest Christians right after the apostles. There are some really important topics that he addresses in these letters. He talks about the sacraments. He talks about the role of bishops. He talks about the nature of the Sabbath and how it's to be preserved. He identifies local church hierarchy. He says that bishops lead local churches and that presbyters and deacons are below that position. So we would assume that presbyters are something like the Melchizedek priesthood, and deacons would be, of course, the Aaronic priesthood. And there have been claims that he is spoken of in some of the churches through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I didn't say that very well. He is believed to have been inspired in his writings by those who read them and who knew him. He's the second, after Clement, mention the Apostle Paul's letters. Let's move on now to Polycarp of Smyrna. I mentioned before that he's one of my absolute favorites. He was born in about 69 AD. He lived to about 155 AD. He was the bishop of Smyrna, which is now Izmir, Turkey. His student Irenaeus wrote that he was not only instructed by the apostles, and Polycarp was instructed by the apostles and with many who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but he, Polycarp, had not. He was appointed bishop by several of the apostles, although we don't know which ones, in Asia and in the church in Smyrna. He himself says in his letters that he heard the apostle John, who had seen the Lord and spoken with him, of course, many times, speak of Jesus. And that's how he became enthralled with Christianity. He loved John, the son of Zebedee, and he followed his teachings about Christianity. We know that Polycarp was involved in a controversy about the day on which to celebrate Easter. He liked a certain date. The Eastern Church, or churches, liked it a different way. Ultimately, because of that disagreements about Easter, the people who opposed his point of view actually demanded his execution and turned him into the Romans. He was, so the story goes, to be burned at the stake, but it didn't work, and so he was stabbed to death. And only after he was stabbed did he die. So he died a martyr's death, one of the very earliest ones. The next of the early church fathers is named Papias of Hierapolis. He was born in about 60 AD. He lived till about 130 AD. He was bishop of Hierapolis. Again, this is now in Turkey. Irenaeus describes him as an ancient man who was a hearer of John and a companion of Polycarp, who I just mentioned. Eusebius, the famous early Christian author, adds that Papias was the bishop of Hierapolis around the time of Ignatius of Antioch. So these were all early Christian church leaders at the end of the first century and then mostly at the beginning of and the middle of the second century. The name Papias was a very common one at the time, suggesting that he was probably a native of the area there in Hierapolis. His major works include a work called The Exposition of the Sayings of the Lord. It's five books in length, showing how incredibly influenced he was by the sayings of Jesus. We don't know what it says, though, because the actual work, The Exposition of the Sayings of the Lord, is lost. We only have a few excerpts and references to it in the writings of Irenaeus and Eusebius. It's kind of sad that that's all we have. It would be wonderful to have that. The next one that I'd like to mention is Quadratus of Athens. We don't know when he was born, but he died about 129 AD. He was the bishop of Athens. Eusebius reports that this man, Quadratus, was a disciple of the apostles, plural. We don't know which ones. We also know that he was appointed a bishop after the martyrdom of his predecessor, a man named Publius. Quadratus' major work is called the Apology, which kind of sounds bad, like you're apologizing for something, but the Greek word actually means to argue for it. So he's talking about argument in favor of something. This was meant to be a persuasive work, might be the proper way to say it now. It was apparently read to the Emperor Hadrian, which is fascinating. It was well enough thought of that perhaps if the Emperor Hadrian read this work, the Apologia, that it might convince the Emperor Hadrian to be nicer towards the Christians. We know that that did not happen. We also know that this book, the Apologia, has been lost and only survives in an excerpt from Eusebius. The next work I wanted to mention is the Didache, or the Writings of the Twelve Apostles. It's a brief early Christian treatise. It dates somewhere from about 50 AD to the end of the first century. We can't quite pin it down. It contains instructions for early Christians. It's probably kind of like early catechisms or maybe articles of faith. Another famous work that was read often is called The Shepherd of Hermas. It dates to the probably early second century. Hermas was the name of the man, and his book was called The Shepherd. And it was considered scriptural by some of the early church fathers, and it actually appears as part of the New Testament canon in some of the earliest New Testament copies that are still existent of the entire New Testament. So it's right there with all the apostolic fathers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul's writings, and so forth. This is a fascinating subject. I hope you've enjoyed hearing just the tip of the iceberg about some of the early Christian church fathers. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.